convene the Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting. Right now we're going to move along to item number 9. This is board comment. Commissioner McGuffey, do you have anything to say?
No, not today.
Vice Chairman Gilman?
No comment today.
I have nothing today either. Moving along now to item number 10, discussion only. Provide an overview of the State of Nevada Community Development Block Grant Program for the upcoming 2016 grant application cycle. Ms. Nevin.
Thank you very much, Chairman. Each year we come before you for to provide information on the Community Development Block Grant Program, to give you an idea of past projects that have been funded in Story County, how to apply, the eligibility requirements, how and where funds can be used, and also to give our citizens an opportunity to make their comments known regarding what types of projects they would like to see in Story County. This is the first in a series of 3 meetings, so we're here today. We'll either be at the, if the commission holds a second meeting in November, or we'll go to the Planning Commission meeting in November, and then we'll come back before the County Commission in December to finalize what we're going to apply for. The community development is part of the Governor's Office of Economic Development. They administer the State and Small Cities Community Development Block Grant Program. Funds for this program are federal funds. They come from HUD, which is the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. And CDBG funds are spent on projects that help achieve suitable living environments, decent housing, and creation of economic opportunities in rural parts of the state. There's various different eligible activities with this program. I'm not going to list every single one because I don't want to take up too much time today. But basically, they fund projects related to public facilities and services. We've used that category for many different projects related to sewer and water system, master planning, flood control projects, senior centers, fire and emergency equipment and facilities. They also pay for planning-type projects, which would be things like water and sewer feasibility studies, comprehensive community development plans, and policy planning management capacity. And economic development is another eligible activity with a lot of focus from our state recently with this community development block grant and also housing rehabilitation. So eligible activities have to fall into one of the 3 national objectives. So benefit low to moderate income households or persons. So that is why we have to do income studies to determine if we are a low to moderate income community. Elimination of slums and blight, or meeting an urgent community development need. At this time, the only area in Story County that qualifies based on the low to moderate income is Lockwood. We are currently in the process, as you know, of doing an income survey for Mark Twain, and we're hopeful, fingers crossed, that they will be eligible for this program as well after those results are tabulated. Projects that benefit limited clientele, such as senior citizens or disabled persons, are automatically eligible. You don't have to meet an income criteria for that. The amount of funds available is estimated at about $2.4 million. And keep in mind that it is a competitive application process amongst all other counties except for Clark and Carson City. They have their own CDBG program, so we're up against all the other counties and cities in these other counties as well. We can submit 2 applications every year, and those applications are due by January 7th of 2016. CDBG has made some changes this year. We hosted their last forum. We would meet annually for a forum, get together all the different communities throughout the state. They're not going to be doing that anymore. The advisory committee is changing from it used to be representatives from rural counties and cities. Now they're changing that to members of economic development agencies throughout the state with 3-year terms versus we always rotated every year. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all shakes out as they deliberate once the applications come in March. Some of the projects that we've done in the past with CDBG funds, keep in mind that CDBG has been great for our county. We've brought in millions of dollars since 1982. There is no match required for this grant program, so it's good. I mean, they like to see match, but it's not required. We're currently underway with the fire department ambulance for Lockwood Community. That project is underway right now. We're also still working with the senior center. They got all new kitchen equipment and stuff. We still have a little bit of funds left in there with that grant. It's not closed yet. In the past, we made upgrades to our swimming pool with an ADA-compliant restroom. We've worked with the Retired Senior Volunteer Program to provide some funding to them for transportation services. We've done Virginia City Gold Hill sewer system upgrades. We did a countywide flood plan back in 2010. We've done projects for the Canyon GID Wastewater Reconstruction Phase 2. So it's just kind of a gamut. You'll see a lot of these projects are related to water and sewer. But we've done a lot with CDBG over the years. So I'm seeking input from the community. There's been a notice in the paper, and you will note that the date for the meeting was given as October 19th at 2 p.m. That is incorrect. It's here today, this meeting. There was just a misunderstanding with the meeting was going to be changed for that day. So I think all that's been remedied there. I'm accepting any ideas that anyone has up until November 4th for projects. So far, I've been contacted by the Virginia City Senior Center. They've expressed interest in being considered for a project to fund a vehicle for the Senior Center. So I'm open. Please contact me via email, phone call, in person, anyone in the communities that has any ideas. Like I said, we'll go for a second meeting in November, and then at the December 1st meeting of the County Commission, we'll come back to you with all the ideas that we have as far as projects go, and we'll ask you to make recommendation of what's going to move forward and prioritize those. So with an application due on January 7th.
Very good. Richard, are there any questions for Sarah?
Could this block grant be used for building a community center in the Highlands?
Well, the Highlands doesn't qualify based on low to moderate income.
Income.
Yeah.
Income?
Yeah.
You guys are too rich out there.
Yeah,
and we don't qualify here in Virginia City, and we did an income survey, and we came short of 2 percentage points. So,
what if we build a senior center?
In the Highlands?
You said that they didn't have to qualify.
Yeah. I mean, it's something to look at if there is a need there for a senior citizen center in the Highlands. If the land is there, there's a lot of different. And keep in mind that these monies are HUD, so there's a lot of restrictions on construction projects. It's not something that I want to veer away from with them, but they're very difficult to manage. And the amount of money that you get would probably not go very far in building a facility. So, yeah, and it's actually becoming more and more competitive. This year we've got, you used to be they accepted all applications and everyone got a chance to go to the advisory committee and sell their project. Well, this year they're not allowing that. They're going to screen them. And if you meet their criteria, then you can go ahead and present to the advisory committee. So it's becoming very competitive.
So. Any other questions for Sherry? Very good. Thank you, Sherry.
Sure. Thank
you. No. It's agendized as a discussion only. But under public comment, you can come up and ask your questions. All right. Moving along now to item number 11 under Community Development and Planning, discussion of possible action, second reading of Ordinance Number 15-269. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. It's been over a year of hard work, and it's nice to be up here today talking about this item. So this is the Title 17 update. We had updated Title 17 in 2012. That's the zoning ordinance, all the text. And it was a good ordinance. I'd say about 18 months put into that, about 2.5 years of actual work put into that one as well. and we had a chance to live with that between 2012 and the current, and I found myself taking a look at it and experiencing our new ordinance and just asking myself a couple questions. And the one question I asked myself on every single page was, why? If I look at an ordinance and I look at a regulation and I ask myself, how come that's in there? And then I ask the public, how come it's in there? And you look at the NDEP and other state regulations and local regulations and you ask why it's in there and you can't answer the question, then the question should be, why is it in there? Maybe it should be removed. So the purpose of this update really is to clean up, clean language, make the ordinance easier for the layperson to understand and use, to get rid of the thou shalt not but not under the not following circumstances kind of language and make it similar to one may build a building on the parcel up to 3 feet to the property line. Anybody can understand that. And then really is to ease up on businesses and homeowners. People that want to build something like an accessory structure or want to have a senior citizen's mom and dad live with them so they can keep an eye on them and help their family, things like that. That's what this update is intended to do. It is a substantial update. There's a lot of changes in it, and I'm prepared to just summarize the major elements where there's changes and then be open to any questions or concerns at that point, any minutiae that you found in there that you'd like to discuss or change or whatever. Accessory buildings are accessory to your either your business or your residence. So those are your barns and your outbuildings and your sheds and things like that. That language was cleaned up. I think I had some nifty things in the 2012 ordinance that sounded good. And then when I started talking with people that just want to build a lawnmower shed in their backyard, well, you can't do this, and it's 3 feet here and 5 feet there, if. And I reminded myself, this is Story County, when we pull back a little bit on that and just make it more general and ask that question again. Does this cause a fire hazard to the main structure? I worked with Gary and Fritz and his team. No, it doesn't. So clean that up and made it simpler. Defining a mother-in-law quarters. This is an area that we have had challenges for 30 years, particularly in the Highlands, where people move mom and dad in, and then mom and dad move out, and then the renters move in, and a house turns into a duplex or a triplex. We're trying to prevent that from happening, keeping the Highlands exclusively rural residential. So now there's some very clear language on what a mother-in-law quarters is or an accessory dwelling unit. And then what we require now is if you want mom and dad to live with you, great. You record a deed restriction on your property that says, I hereby acknowledge mom and dad or cousins or people that live in the family tree live on that property. And then when those people don't live there, then that deed restriction can be re-recorded to undo it. But it helps us make sure that we don't turn our back and then 20 years from now we find out that place has been turned into a quadruplex and rented out to, you know, that sort of thing. So we have that language cleaned up. Probably the biggest thing we see is a downtown development district for Virginia City. And this is an area within the commercial residential zone in which you can do a little bit more urbanized kind of stuff. And this is for the purpose of supporting business on C Street and a little bit on B and D Street and a couple panhandles that relate to that. And also to allow a little bit more of a residential living type of environment in that downtown core. Probably the most extreme of those is zero residential setbacks only in that area. So when you have a missing building on C Street, for example, right now you would have to have a 20-foot setback for that residence. It would have to be parked way back between those two building fronts. The new zoning would allow that house to be in the same consistent pattern as the rest of the town, as would have happened in the 1860s. This is not allowed in the residential zones, and it's not allowed in the entire CR zone, only where we're standing and certain parts of town that are considered that core central downtown district. There is an allowance for a higher number of commercial lodging, hotels, motels, hostels, things like that. If someone wants to submit a special use, they could have smaller units and try to get a higher number of hotel rooms in such as like the Red Dog or the Tahoe House or something like that that's in the downtown area and help create, fulfill the need for hotel rooms. And then the other one, probably is the most substantial, is the allowance for the special use of what have reviewed by this board is off-site parking for that type of lodging. I've had a lot of people downtown express concerns. Let's look at the Red Dog, for example. You have a historic building. You have three stories. Can't do anything with it because if you turn that into a hotel, you don't have enough on-site parking or enough space for on-site parking, so you can't turn it into a hotel and it remains vacant space. This would allow a review process that the board could say, okay, we'll let you go ahead and turn that into a hotel, have however many units you can get in that historic building, and then we'll allow you to have parking at another location, and we'll determine by this board if that location is conducive to supporting that use and not creating an impact on the county environment, meaning our streets and roadways. The new ordinance would require a special use permit for all wind energy devices in the Comstock Historic District. So there would be some review and oversight on that in addition to the Historic District. Extended stay hotels would be a defined use. Right now they're called apartment hotels, and there's some connotations that might allow those hotels ultimately to end up become apartment buildings. Remember, this one's countywide. It's not necessarily just Virginia City. So it'd be Lockwood, for example. It would not apply to Tri-Center because this doesn't apply to Tri under the development agreement unless they wanted to adopt it. But this would allow a 28-day stay plus for business purposes beyond a 28-day. So if you wanted to be there 180 days, up to 180 days, for business purposes like a residence inn or something like that. An apartment would have to have a kitchen and a bathroom and a sink and a range, and then they could allow those. What this will come with, noting that we already have that allowance, this is just a new definition, we want to go back and update some of our other ordinances to clean up exactly where that room tax applies and how it applies to the entire state for that guest, and so that use doesn't become an apartment. A permanent residential type of use. The IC zone, which is next on the agenda, this text does not have the IC zone, but it accommodates it. So, for example, in one of the chapters, it lists IC in addition to IS and I2 and I1 and R1 and the other uses. Micro wineries and distilleries are now accommodated in the new ordinance. Currently, they're not listed. And they would require a special use permit for distilleries because there are some fire and pressure elements that we'd like to have the fire district very closely involved with, but we do would support these in Virginia City in the commercial residential zone. Right now you can have a row house, but you can't have a townhouse. Or you can have a townhouse, but you can't have a row house. There's virtually no difference between them except one is common interest ownership around the outside. And on a row house, you actually own the dirt underneath you. In a townhouse, you don't. You're floating. Why have that? I mean, it should be both. They're both the same type of use. Dogs. We had a situation where we had an animal ordinance being written, probably by everybody that's worked for Surrey County, has had some involvement in that ordinance. Now it's in the proper hands in the DA's office. So the animal ordinance is going to come in, and they were going to regulate dogs and pigs up to 4 and beyond. So I thought, well, let's back off on zoning a little bit and allow some people to have extra dogs or extra pigs. 7 was the number that was brought forth with the Planning Commission, and that animal ordinance is going to come in and regulate the difference. The animal ordinance never happened. So currently you can have 7 dogs and 7 pigs anywhere, including in a one-bedroom apartment. Story County is a free place, but it's not a zoo. So we do recommend bringing that down to 4, which was the original number for 4 dogs. And then anything beyond that, special use permit, you have to have 10 acres, and then 2 pigs. Pigs are a popular thing now, potbelly pigs, not huge hogs. And then and the other element I want to mention is mining ordinance. There's no changes to the mining ordinance except there was a reference to an I-4 zone in there. There is no I-4 zone at this time, so that's scratched out. That's it. I did receive correspondence today from Mr. Phillips from the clerk's office that he would like to look at the details of the map associated with 1792 mining ordinance. That map's been online and is currently for the last 3 years. It has not changed at all. It's the same exact map. Nothing has changed, so I'd like to emphasize that. The historic district, you notice that chapter is all stricken out. It's simply moved to general provisions. There's no striking out of the historic overlay. and the sign ordinance that is a Chapter 2 zoning is being worked with by our team to really come up with substantial and reasonable and business-friendly updates to that sign ordinance. That will not be included here, so our existing sign ordinance will remain in place. I have an addendum I'd like to go through, but if you have any questions in the interim, I'd be happy to answer them before I go to the addendum.
Any questions for Austin at this point?
I brought this up last time. The chemical storage in the light industrial, I wouldn't endorse that. And that's referring to chemical companies. I'm not talking about gas stations, companies that sell motor oil and stuff like that, or take in motor oil. I'm talking about chemical companies. And then you list it in light industrial, but then you don't address it in the light industrial on page 5 and 6. And there's nothing, the only thing you have that, the only thing in there that I don't really care for is propane sales and storage. I mean, I hate to see a tank farm down there by the river, but that's my view. But nothing as far as chemicals is mentioned.
Okay, and that should be within a warehouse facility if it's in an I-1 zone. That would be a company that had chemical storage. It wouldn't be in large tanks and that sort of thing. It'd be within a warehouse facility, typically like a Pittsburgh Paint or something like that. That's what I have recommended. If this board feels they'd like to make adjustments, I'll make note of those, and I'll be sure that we integrate them into the final approval. But the current zoning under I-1 light industrial within a warehouse facility, it does allow petroleum, chemical, and certain storages, and it typically be in cans, totes, or things like that. The propane sales, that would be like what you see in Mound House. You know, Bi-State Propane has their propane yard, and the current zoning allows that in the I-1 zone and the I-2 zone.
Again, my response is I'm kind of watching out for our river. We have a river now, basically, river district that we want to take care of. I don't really want to, some stuff I really don't want to be in there.
I'm going to hear what this board feels, and I'll make a notation of what you like on that. The I-1 zone exists in all different places across the county, including most prominent I-1 zone that's near the river would be in Lockwood. Currently, that industrial strip that's along Avenue of the Colors, that's all zoned I-1. An option is if we wanted to allow that variance, is that item at least could be moved to special use permit. So what you're saying, Commissioner McGuffey, is at least have board oversight to say, this site, we don't like it because of the river or other circumstances. But maybe in another I-1 zone that happens to be, in another part of the county, that would be supported. There are some I-1 zones that I would suggest would be good for that kind of a propane sales place. They support area uses. That could be moved to a special use permit. And then there's that proper oversight if you feel that you like to go that route and at least leave it as an available use in the I-1 zone.
Well, this area we're talking about there along the river is one of the zones industrial, commercial.
Yeah, that one's another item.
And some of these businesses I don't see being intertwined with the commercial. If you're going to have a hotel, you don't want to have a chemical plant next to it.
So I want to make sure we're being real clear then is that area that you're referring to, I believe, along the 600 acres along the river, that's going to be the next agenda item, which is the IC zone. That one is separate from this one, which is the I-1 zone. The I-1 zone currently exists. The only I-1 zones that I know, there are several in Virginia City, Gold Hill, and there's that one along Avenue of the Colors. And I'm not aware of any other I-1 use zones in the county. I mean, there could be something somewhere. But this wouldn't apply to that land along that 600 acres. And I got to be careful because we're not on that item. That's a separate map item. In fact, it's not even on today's agenda. The I-1 zone would be a zone that would apply in other parts of the county. Would you be comfortable going ahead and adding that item to special use permit to provide the board oversight in the I-1 zone? So if there was a proposal for propane near the river, that this board then can say, let's hold off on that, or let's put some mitigation on it, or whatever it takes, or not allow it. But if there happened to be an I-1 zone in Virginia City, American Flat, wherever, that it would be a considered use.
But you've said that we already have I-1 zoning in Lockwood right
yeah,
now.
Correct.
Along the river.
That's right. It is along the river.
So you'd want to go ahead, you'd want to remedy that. You'd want to go back and change so that there'd be no I-1 along the river Lockwood?
I think what I'm hearing is that you're concerned about this particular listed use. So we got, there's kind of two things. There's maps. That's where all the zones are. We're not messing with the maps today at all. It is only the text that applies. Okay, if you happen to be on that map in a gray area, this is all the stuff you can do in there. I think Commissioner McGuffey's concerned that if a gray area, i.e. an I-1 zone, happens to be near the river, that those listed uses, what we're talking about today, could be an impact. So I'm asking if a mitigation to move that to special use with board oversight would be enough to allow that use to still continue, but allow also review and oversight by this board to address your concern, Commissioner McGuffey. I think I'm being clear on that.
I think another thought that I would add, I believe I can...
this one.
This bit. Remember that there's a full Union Pacific rail line that's operated also in conjunction with BNSF. And there will be, has been, a full operating switch with rail yards and the probability of intermodal and container operation. So it is truly, it's not a hotel park area, it's a heavy industrial park. And the rail actually is going to drive a lot of the uses along the rail line there. So I think that looking at the overall project and the personality that will come to it, I think that certainly we can restrict indoors or tanking inside or those kinds of things with a special use permit. But definitely there's a probability of heavy use along the rail line.
And I guess I'd also be a little concerned making too many material changes on that to how this has proceeded. I mean, I agree safeguarding the river is important, but we have to be careful, I think, of unintended consequences. For instance, what defines propane storage? You know, I can tell you, you know, hardly anywhere anymore can you go get a 5-gallon propane tank filled. You do the Blue Rhino exchanges. Typically, those are in cages, you know, where they may have upwards of 20, 40, 60, you know, small propane tanks stored. Is that, are we going to take it to the extreme and require, let's say, the market,
yeah,
you know, in Lockwood to go ahead and get that because they're adjacent to the river? I just thinking we might be going a little bit too far with some of this.
Well, half of the river is already in Story County already, right? That's the boundary line.
Actually, the whole river. Because, no. Oh, I'm sorry.
In the 600 acres, but in the rest of the county that borders,
yes,
Washington County, one half of the river is in Story County, right?
If I'm
correct, that is the county line, uh-huh, is halfway to the middle of the river, which could change a little bit as the river meanders, right? But,
yes.
So,
yeah, just this property doesn't have that boundary.
Right.
It's all Story County. But just
the new 600 acres.
600
acres.
But I just
the river's north of the county line.
Yes,
point.
Sir.
And just for clarification, I want to make sure that we're not thinking that 600 acres is what we're talking about with this zoning.
Right.
That actually is kind of zone white at the moment. There is no zoning on it. It's vacant land. That would be the next, and not even the next item. We don't have zone map on this agenda. Down the road, we'll look at applying zoning to that 600 acres. But this is a countywide ordinance. There are I-1 zones in here, Virginia City, down on F Street. There's I-1 zones on Avenue of the Colors. There could be I-1 zones. There's I-1 zones now just east of Lockwood. And the master plan and the master plan update is trying to support mixed-use communities. The I-1 zones, we believe, are complementary to our existing neighborhoods because they provide light industry and a manufacturing, small internal manufacturing, non-commodity stuff, assembly, or, you know, that kind of business park kind of stuff that would be next to our existing residential communities to provide a little bit of employment, not necessarily I-2. However this board feels, I've kind of given my perspective, but this board ultimately is what you would like, and then I'll be able to integrate that into a motion. There's some other items, too, I need to review as well.
I'm just trying to grasp how to remedy Commissioner McGuffey's issue with it.
Mr. Chairman, might I suggest that Mr. Osborne go through the rest of the changes and then have a portion of the hearing where the board members could recommend any amendments to what is proposed and see if the board can decide that that's something that they want to add or take away from what Mr. Osborne has proposed. So you would basically have it in the form that he's proposing and then take time to see if there's any amendments that the board could agree on to make those before adopting.
So with I-1 zoning, are there usually any HUPs that are attributed to that?
There are a list of uses that are allowed and lists of uses that require special use. Usually the ones that require special use are more volatile uses. And it allows case-by-case analysis of each one.
Right.
I'd be happy to go through the addendum if you want, and then we can revisit this. However you'd like.
About there, we might think also maybe some additional definitions for Jack's concern along the river. So is there a border or a barrier or a setback or something along those lines that could be addressed? So it wasn't, you've got to remember, Nature Conservancy has broad swaths of property along the river there with setback, and where there's no building zone. So maybe it's a bit more definition on what along the river means.
We used to have an ordinance that dealt with the Truckee River. It's called the Truckee River Ordinance. There's some interesting history on what it was really intended for, but it did have those distances to the actual river. That was amended because it was seen as that not consistent with the actual uses, not consistent with the actual topography. I mean, you could have 500 feet in one place seems like a long distance, but it means nothing. And 20 feet in another place because of a cliff, the use could be completely not affecting the river. So that was done away with. In this case, Tri-Center as well, Lockwood. The new zoning that we just did at the Leprey properties east of Lockwood, all of those are right on the river. They all have
rock as well.
That one would be if we were to go and do things in there. None of these are in the riparian area of the river, and the master plan, at least the new one, is saying no development within the riparian area. Essentially, that's the floodplain. The floodplain ordinance also does not allow development within the floodway, which is the river. Without mitigation, which is substantial mitigation, going through a CLOMAR process with FEMA and all that. There is distance to river already. NDEP also has regulations on any type of industrial uses you do anywhere, let alone near a river, have to have, silt mechanisms and detention and runoff mechanisms and 110% containment of the largest container on the facility, things like that are designed to keep material on the site if there ever is a major spill. Those are in place already. If we were to look at a river ordinance, a distance to the river, that would be a completely different ordinance. We'd have to come up with an approach for that. I'd be concerned that would conflict with some of the existing zoning that we have along the river now, including Tri-Center, for example, if they were to adopt that, in the Lockwood area, et cetera.
I guess basically I think we don't want to let loose the control of what gets built there along the river. I think we need to be careful about that. That's my concern.
Would you be
just the 600 acres?
Yeah.
Because basically this particular issue is everything in Story County from Vista Boulevard all the way to Longworth.
Right.
Doesn't involve 600. No, it does not. This ordinance, and I don't know.
I don't know the answer to that specifically. But there's a lot of industrial because of the rail.
So, and I just want to remind us, so I don't, I heard something about the 600 acres. That land is white right now, and it still would be white. If this is adopted, nothing changes there. What will happen then is we'll look at the IC zone text. The text will be floating around in the ordinance in its chapter, and that zoning that's out there for the 600 acres still is white. There's nothing. Then there will be another hearing by this board. The Planning Commission already heard it. This board ultimately will hear, do you want to apply IC zoning to that 600 acres or other zoning? Actually, there will be a mixture of zoning on that land. There will be some forestry. If the 600-acre area, I don't know that I'm hearing you right, Commissioner McGuffey, is your biggest concern. When we get to the IC zone, we can discuss some of the uses in the IC zone to make sure they're commensurate with your concerns of the river. Even though we moved forward on all of Title 17, that doesn't include the IC zone.
Are you going to have different specifications? The way I see the IC zone is a light industrial area mixed with a commercial area. So you got all these companies that you've got listed here in light industrial with commercial companies, businesses.
In the IC zone?
Are you going to, or are you going to create another set of companies that's looking at for the IC zone?
That's right. Which you just described. So if we approve all of Title 17 now, IC zone is still another agenda item where it could be denied or changed. Then, so let's say you adopt Title 17 right now. It gets done, it's finished, it's all signed. We go to the IC zone. That is a separate chapter that ends up in Title 17, and it has its own list of uses that are customized for arterial areas.
That clarifies.
Okay. You're welcome.
Are you good with that?
I'm good with it.
Okay. Is there any public comment on this?
I still have the addendum I want to remind us.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Go with that first.
All right, there's an addendum I provided between first and second reading. Essentially, it went through the DA's office and also a proofread to clean things up. So most of this is cleanup. You'll notice there's a lot of pages. Some of it I simply forgot to bold the text. I just turned it blue. So I had to bold the text. Thank you, Mr. Morris, to bold the text, put that in there as bolded text so anybody can see that this is, in fact, new text, not just blue. Most of it is that. There are some things I want to bring our attention to, page 2 of 23 of the addendum, and that's the extended stay hotel. That's a definition that is now in the draft for the definitions. If you want, I'll read it. Otherwise, I'll move on. Okay. I'll go ahead and move on. There is a, on page 3, a minor mistake, and I need to ask that we would, if you see there's items A, B, C, and D, and for some reason I did not catch that I didn't put an E and an F, and actually G should be F, so I would make that administrative change. Just put the letters there. The rest of it, all we're seeing here is that bold text again, and the rest of it, anything that is not bold and underlined was already there in the original drafts. Most of these things are minor. Changing shall to must, going from, you know, is allowed from there shall be not, that kind of stuff. Mining, exploration, and extraction, again, there's zero changes in that chapter except the strikeout of the I-4 zone because there is no I-4 zone. There is an I-4 zone draft, but it's not on the table. And the map, again, that is being referenced on that is the same exact map with absolutely no changes whatsoever, not even to the boundaries of it. And therefore, I'd suggest that map has been in public view for 3 years, let alone the year that we've been going through the public workshops with the Planning Commission on this ordinance. And I believe that's all I have at the moment. I'm happy to answer any questions or hear public comment.
Okay, now we'll ask for any public comment on this. Hearing none, I'll go back to the commissioners and ask if they have any more questions.
I think Mark has something.
Come on up, Mr. Phillips.
For the record, excuse me. For the record, Mark Joseph Phillips, a resident of Story County. We're discussing agenda item number 12, discussion before the possible action of, this is the public hearing, ordinance number 15-268.
We're discussing item 11, I believe, not 12.
Well, how come we're talking about the map and, you know, is Austin confused? But why would we be, are we talking about the industrial zoning right now in the application from TRI?
No, for the county.
It's Title 17.
Title 17 for the county.
That's item number 12?
We're on number 11.
Oh, am I? Wow. I've got the agenda for October 20th.
Austin, did your addendum have anything to do with item 11?
Nope. What happened?
Oh, no, the addendum applies completely to item 11, the Title 17 update, not item 12, the IC zone.
The agenda for holding has those two reversed.
Yeah, item 11 is the IC zone, and item 12 is the Title 17.
Sorry, I might be out of order. Yeah, how about that? So I thank you, Mr. Phillips. I'll take bat on that. I would ask that we're discussing item 12 right now.
Okay.
And I don't think the order really matters. I don't think Mr. Morris really cared about the order in this. That they're both pretty benign to each other. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
All the amendments to Title 17 referencing IC zoning would be moot if you all decide not to approve the next ordinance. I mean, I figured that's why. Huh. Okay. Mr. Chairman, could we be clear about what we're talking about here?
Mr. Chairman, do you mind if I step in for a second?
Yeah. We'll clarify it right now.
If we were concerned about that strategy or the structure, I'd be happy to. We could always leave item 12, go to 11, or we could just make sure that we vote on 11 before 12. That would be totally kosher with how everything functions together. And I'd suggest even at the moment we're not out of order. What's that?
We just want to make sure that for the record, that it's item 12 that we've been working on.
It is item 12 that we have been working on so far. I would like to ask, ultimately, even if we consider discussion on item 12 as we have, that we don't vote on item 12, that we go back to item 11, discuss that, make our vote.
I think it's fair to just make sure that it's clear on the record you're talking about 12, and then people do a vote on 12. The board can take it in any order they want.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Then, so point taken that we have been discussing item 12 out of order.
12.
I'll wait till the night council.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. All right.
We got a problem.
Yeah, we got a problem.
I've been discussing item 11.
We have been discussing.
Yeah, you're okay. I think it's repeating yourself on the left.
Because that's the trial on this left.
Okay, so we've been talking about item 12. We are on item 12. There's no recusal because the TRI center is actually item 11 that we haven't even discussed yet. As Mr. Morris has told the board, you are allowed at any time to take certain items out of order. I just want to make sure the only thing that we really are talking about here is that all the verbiage that Mr. Osborne has been telling the board is actually related to item 12
instead
of 11. That's it, correct?
And I hear Commissioner McGovey's discussion has always been a reference to I-1 zone, which is item 12.
Is it?
Yes.
Well, I thought we were on item 11.
I apologize.
Okay.
But in relation to the questions that Mr. McGovey has had and the materials he's been looking at, those are all related to item 12,
yes,
not item 11.
Such as the I-1 zone, et cetera. Yes, correct. That's why I continually have said we are not talking about the IC zone.
Okay, Mr. Mr. McGovey believes he's looking at...
I was looking at item 11.
Okay.
That's what we got here.
Okay.
So as long as everybody's clear that we're on 12.
All right, we're going to continue conversation on discussion on item number 12. And so, Mr. Phillips, we're on item 12. So go ahead and
sure,
and make your concerns note made now.
I'm going to read into the record correspondence, which I would like to have attached to the minutes of this meeting when they're approved eventually. 20th of October, I referenced some Story County Code 17.92.030F. It's Board of County Commissioners, Marshall McBride, Chairman, Vanessa Stevens, County Clerk, and Langer District Attorney. Dear Board, in regard to today's agenda item number 12, public hearing, ordinance number 15-268, amendments to Chapter 17.2 of the Story County Code, mineral exploration, mining, and extraction. The Comstock Historic Preservation Area map is made a part of this chapter. A copy of this map has not been made available in a format large enough to read all the detail prior to or during this meeting. And I would like to reference, the county clerk took a time to enlarge the map that Austin gave her, and I would like the commissioners to possibly observe the map. I brought a magnifying glass. It's not readable. And I don't understand the reluctance to put in a copy of the original map on the easel as a part of this discussion. Attorney General, again, AG file number 09-21, August 21st, 2009, inability to provide supporting material to the public because the public body's clerk, staff, or other custodian of materials does not have a copy because the clerk, staff, or other custodians was not provided a copy. It is a violation of the open meeting law. This material must be available to the public upon request. Furthermore, for the record, there's no public package available to the public at this meeting or at this time. This is open meeting law violation. For Austin to insinuate this has been online forever or months or years still doesn't negate the fact that I went to planning website. I got the packet online from the clerk's office from what she was given, and it's completely unreadable. I can't read it. None of the detail. It's all a blur. It's here today. County clerk has provided it for me. So if y'all could just take a look at what the public's been given, you would agree. Especially as part of an ordinance, especially at a public hearing. Okay. So much reference is made to this chapter and its amendments about the map. I don't know how you could even discuss. What were the commissioners given? And y'all talk about blueprint and red print. I got black and white. That's what the public was given.
I think your time has expired now. Thank you, Mr. Phillips.
Okay.
As has been pointed out, this
I would matter, suggest you're all...
Your time's expired. Thank you, Mr. Phillips.
Yeah?
That means you stop talking now, and we talk, okay?
Could you humor me in two more concerns?
Mark, listen.
What, 15 seconds?
Okay, 15 seconds.
Okay, and furthermore, no definition or acknowledgement of medical marijuana facilities are included in all these text amendments and definitions. This medical marijuana chapter and Nevada revised statute was passed overwhelmingly by Story County voters, and there's no acknowledgement after over a year of moratorium. So doing the public no service by leaving that particular part of zoning out of this discussion.
Thank you. Can we continue, Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Oh, wait, my letter. Thank you, Mr.
I'm going to answer this point. I can respond, or if you have any questions of me, I'd be happy to discuss
this. I think
you
already have. You've already made mention. This has been on the website for 3 years. It's accessible there. The clerk did provide a blown-up map that Mr. Phillips refused to accept. So I think that's enough to be said on this issue. So we'll continue on.
And I'll just restate again, that map is unchanged. Okay. Thank you.
I know what Mark's talking about. You know, sometimes the stuff we publish, you can't read it, especially these maps and showing zones, and you don't know what you're looking at, you know, just colored blobs. I don't know what kind of media we're using, but is there some other media that would be used to make it more clear?
If you could do the online version, you can blow in and zoom in all this stuff.
I've gone online and looked at this. Well, now I can't say I've gone online, but I've looked at this stuff on my computer, and it's the same thing. You zoom in, it just gets worse.
This and the copies that you have are run through the machine. The copies that I have online are actually the actual PDF that's from the Word document. It's pretty clear. And I'm not going to, argue with Mr. Phillips. I understand his concerns. My question is a year of almost every single planning commission workshop, this has been a standing item and has been discussed. I really would have appreciated Mr. Phillips coming to me or my staff earlier than day before the meeting saying there's a problem. I'm not here to argue or anything. I'm here to answer any questions or concerns you might have. And I share some of the limitations we have. And not to mention that in developing that map was 18 months of excruciating, I'm going to be careful the kind of word I use, but excruciating detail, sitting there on that wall, the size of that wall, moving that line at every single meeting based on what mining interests wanted and lawyers wanted and the public wanted and the CRA wanted. That was probably the most publicly vetted and directed map in the state of Nevada's history, let alone in this room. That map is very well known by our community, probably one of the most important maps we have, I would say, with regard to mining and any use, really, in our zoning ordinance. And that's why I was very careful not to change it.
I thought Mark had a good recommendation to maybe bring a map, a large one, set it on the easel, in case anybody wanted to look at it.
I'd be happy to do that.
This could easily been acquired yesterday by simply going to his office and having him pull it up for him instead of waiting until a public meeting and grandstanding in front of everybody. So, any other public comment on this? Did you say there's an addendum to go with this now?
Yeah, I did go over the addendum.
And just so we all clear, too, is even if you get a black and white copy of this, it's bold black, and then anything that's changed is stricken out, even though if it's black and white, so color doesn't make a difference. That's why I did put some of the blue color in.
Anybody who's attended a planning commission meeting would have seen it up on this wall 100 times?
Not always on the wall at every planning commission meeting, but heavily vetted with copies available.
Right. I think it's time to call for a motion to go forward with this.
I'll be glad to make the motion to approve the second reading of ordinance.
Hold on.
I was just going to say, I'd really like to make sure that everybody understands that we're on item 12.
Okay.
It's chapter 17.
How about if we do this? Like a motion to approve the second reading of ordinance number 15-268, zone text amendments, to Story County Title 17 zone.
So I'll make the motion to approve the second reading of ordinance number 15-268, zone text amendments.
That would include the amended.
Can we read the whole text? The paragraph?
That would be good. And then can you also state with that, including all of the changes in the addendum per today's meeting?
So this is an ordinance amending Story County Code Title 17 zoning to update the procedures and requirements of the title by amending the following chapters. Ordinance title page, chapter 17.03, administrative provisions. 17.06, nonconforming uses. 17.08, zoning generally. 17.10, definitions. Chapter 17.12, general provisions. Chapter 17.15, P, public zone. 17.16, R1, single family residential zone. 17.20, R2, multifamily residential zone. 17.24, an agricultural zone. 17.28, C, commercial zone. 17.30, CR, commercial residential zone. 17.32, F, forestry zone. 17.34, I1, light industrial zone. 17.35, I2, heavy industrial zone. 17.36, I3, heavy industrial zone. 17.38, IS, special industrial zone. 17.40, E, estate zone. 17.44, SPR, special planning review zone. 1748, historic overlay district. 1756, PUD, planned unit development. 1776, N-R, natural resources zone. 1784, signs and billboards. 1792, mineral exploration, mining and extraction, and other properly related matters. Public participation is. A copy of the text amendments may be obtained from the Planning Department website, storycounty.org, 321, updates at 847-1144, or room planning at storycounty.org.
And then
also, all amendments as suggested by staff at this meeting.
In the addendum.
In the addendum.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner.
Okay.
You said 321 there at the end, storycounty.org. 321 is 521. Okay. But with that, I'll second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the second reading of ordinance number 15-268. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay. Now we're going to move back to item number 11. This is the second reading of ordinance number 15-269.
So, Mr. Chairman, because I have a pecuniary interest in the property to which this item pertains, I'm going to hereby recuse myself and join the audience. No discussion.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Mr. Osborne?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I want to make a very clarification in this. If this is adopted today, this is zone text that would become a new chapter in the zoning ordinance. It does not apply to any land at this point. We don't have a zone map in front of us at this point. I do want to, we know that ultimately it's the desire of the applicant for this to apply this to the 600 acres out there by the Truckee River. But at this time, that's not their proposal. That would have to be done in a separate proposal. I, as staff, would argue, though, is one could easily assume that that'll be applied to that land or any other land in the county, and I'll discuss a couple of things here in a moment. So this is a request by Tahoe Reno Industrial Center to create this zone. It's a new zone. It's called the Industrial Commercial Zone, and it's an amendment to Title 17, and it would be under Title 17.39. Essentially, what we're doing here is this is a mixed-use zone of industrial and commercial uses. We essentially customized all of the commercial uses that are heavy commercial and all of the industrial uses that are mostly light industrial to create a zone that would facilitate such things as truck stops, hotels, casinos, large commercial, you know, malls, any of those types of things that are high-intensity commercial uses, not necessarily high-intensity industrial uses. This is really a zone that is intended for arterial routes such as Interstate 80 or USA Parkway. The zone includes embedded text that says, not for Lockwood, Virginia City, Gold Hill, Mark Twain, or Virginia City Highlands. This is not a zone that we would be able to slip into Virginia City or a place like that. It's not intended for that. It's intended for freeway kind of activity. It actually says residential areas or general neighborhood commercial areas are not where this is to be. It is a conformance with the zone text. There's no particular land in front of us at the moment. The findings are that it conforms with the master plan for the area in which it would apply or be allowed to apply, existing zones where eligible, and then General Title 17, it does comply with that. Staff recommends a motion that is not consistent with the Planning Commission's motion. I would be happy to read a block of text that shows you the conversation that occurred at the Planning Commission with regard to casinos, or I could just explain to you what the difference is. And at that point, I'm done with that part, and then if you would like, we can go ahead and discuss that Planning Commission item at your desire.
You have questions regarding that?
Yes.
How you want him to proceed?
This is what I had earlier. On page 4 of 26, you got chemical storage in the light industrial. This is the list that you plan on using as an IC list.
That is correct. And can you refer me to, mine says, you're on page 4?
Yeah.
Okay. 33.
Okay. What section are you under? 1739.
That is an analysis.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have the same thing. Okay, I don't know. I'm looking at it. Okay, thank you. Okay, so page 4, there is item 33. Chemical oil storage is a use that would be allowed. That's what's in front of us at the moment. That's correct. Now, let's take a look at the actual...
You do have automotive paints and gas station and stuff like that.
What I'm going to do at the moment...
Stuff of that nature.
What I'm going to do at the moment is what you're looking at is in the staff report. So it's giving you a summary of allowed uses. If you can give me about 1 second here, I'm going to blow through the actual text of the ordinance and then see how that applies. I believe it's within a warehouse facility. It'll take me just a moment here. Just got to go through these. Okay. I'm on page 14, and I believe that's where this is going to be. Okay, so propane sales and storage, we had discussed that. On page 14 is just propane sales and storage. So on page 15 or under section C, and just so we're very clear, that would be section 1739.020C. Heavy industrial uses, including the following, and that's where you have your chemical storage.
Right. See, that's under heavy industrial.
And it is within a warehouse facility, so it wouldn't be open. It wouldn't be tanks. So it says storage and distribution of paint, slacks, turpentine, varnishes, and other similar chemicals within a warehouse facility. So that'd be like Pittsburgh Paint, for example, probably a half a dozen other companies. eBay could even be applicable in something like this. But it would be something that they would have, you know, generally in cans, on shelves, in racking inside a building. This would not be a tank farm. Storage and distribution of petroleum and liquid petroleum products also is the same within a warehouse facility. And then it says manufacturing of those types of things is a prohibited. And those would be the types of uses where you would see tank storage or large quantity of storage. I'm happy to accept any thing this board feels, but in this case, it really is within a warehouse facility intended for distribution.
So since there's not tank storage here, then you're not looking at large quantities.
And even if it was, it's still within a building that would have its own containment.
Well, containment, right. Okay.
And you could even, I mean, if we were envisioning, say, something like retail on this property, if you're not careful with what you're allowing, you could take, say, like a Lowe's or a Home Depot,
yes,
and accidentally preclude them from consideration because they're storing in cans and
correct.
And manufacturing processes and chemicals at times, too. So I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about, we don't want a big tank farm of chemicals. We don't want a big 50,000-gallon tank of benzene sitting there that could blow up the whole park.
We couldn't. We can't. They can't across the river, but here it's storage within a warehouse.
When you say chemical storage, it's like, well, that's storing chemicals.
But it is within a warehouse facility. Typically, these are divided between storage outside a facility, typically large tanks. What this is also intended for is like a truck stop that could have a lot of, it's obviously going to have fuel storage on site. We don't want to preclude that. It could have car washes or truck washes that could have large chemical storage, or it'd have to be inside a facility that would be used in washing facilities. I mean, you probably think of other uses. But it wouldn't be a tank farm. That wouldn't be allowed. It would be excluded. And, in fact, the next paragraph saying they're prohibited was intended to be very clear of the prohibited uses in the area. And I'm hoping I'm explaining this well. I'm hearing your concerns.
I'll ask for any public comment on this. Do you have any follow-up on this?
I think there is some public comment.
Well, come on up, Ms. Bart.
Nicole Bart, Story County resident. Austin had offered to give you a reading of what the Planning Commission said, which is not the staff's recommendation. Would it be appropriate to ask that he do that? I would be interested to hear what the Planning Commission's recommendation is and then why the staff's recommendation is different than that of the Planning Commission.
Thank you.
Will that be done?
Sure. Why not?
Okay, if you like, I'll go ahead and read that.
Yeah, that's what the... what the Planning Commission's recommendation was.
So if you want, I'll read the whole...
And how it differs from the staff.
Okay.
Recommendation.
I respect my Planning Commission. It's not often that I go against their recommendation. Staff had made originally a recommendation for large-scale casinos to be included as an allowed use. We would love to see a large-scale casino occur in that area. I mean, what better revenue could we see for the county, not to mention attraction for the entrance of the park to see a pepper mill or something like that happen. So in order to make that happen, we try to make it as simple as possible. We don't want a casino. Let's say the pepper mill wanted to go out there, use them because they're pepper mill. We all know the pepper mill. We don't want to say, well, you're going to get a special use permit, you're going to have to go through the Planning Commission, you're going to have to go through the County Commission, and the rights could be taken away from you, and you could have problems getting your funding. There's all kinds of moving parts that become applicable when you do that. And when you deal with a volatile use, like, you know, manufacturing of explosives and things, you want those moving parts in there for protection. A casino is probably the most low-impact use you could have in that area, and it is very conducive to that freeway interchange kind of environment. The planning commissioner, I'll read a section here out of the section. It kind of gives you an idea what happened. Commissioner Tyler asked several questions about traffic and other impacts generated by large-scale casinos allowed by the zone. Planning staff stated that the IC zone is only allowed near major arterial routes such as Interstate 80 and USA Parkway, which are typically developed to standards that would accommodate large-scale casinos and other uses. Commissioner Tyler and the Planning Commission asked that a special use permit be required for large-scale casinos, and then staff read into the record. There was a lot of other discussion that occurred. But I did ask Mr. Tyler, I said, what are your findings for this? What are the findings to say we should require special use for casinos? And it was just, well, there's going to be a lot of traffic. Well, it's on an interstate there. That's what, this is the best place for that. And in addition to that, whenever they come for such a development proposal, they would have to develop that area to accommodate the traffic they're going to generate. We don't want to require they go through a special use permit process for something where they're already under regulations to address traffic, and they're already going to be either on USA Parkway or some kind of an interchange interstate system. So staff is asking that is left to be an allowed use for a casino.
You want to weigh in?
Absolutely. I'll speak on behalf of the county for its years of working together with TRI, including the efforts to attract or to obtain the necessary approvals to transfer these 600 acres from Washoe County into Story County. For years, we have envisioned, if you will, their highest and best use, both at the county level and at the developer level. Now, certainly anything can happen within allowed uses on these properties, but the county wants to be in position to incent rapid, quick development of them. Certain parcels within this new allotment that we worked so hard to get to attract the lucrative, diverse revenue sources that we want, whether they be car dealerships, casinos of the magnitude that Mr. Osborne's speaking of. We want to be able to put the developers in position to do what they do so well, which is go forward with any prospective new purchaser and say, look, this is a pre-approved, pre-planned use for what's out here. And to subject it to the special use permitting makes us no different than Washoe County, City of Reno, City of Sparks, or Clark County. And I would advocate that we do what Austin is asking and respectfully disagree with the Planning Commission in this case and allow that use as a pre-permitted use.
You have any thoughts on this?
That's a new one to me.
Well, Story County didn't even get the reputation of a can-do county by starting to put in erroneous regulations. So,
exactly.
Any other public comment? Do you have anything to follow up with this?
Let me make sure. I don't believe I do, but I just want to check my notes and make sure I'm not missing some theme. I do have findings that go along with this and a recommended motion.
Okay.
The findings are on page 7 of the staff report. If you so desire, I'll go ahead and read findings of your choice. And
I'm going to ask you, you read the findings for approval.
Okay, thank you. I'll go ahead and do that. So 4.1, findings, motion for approval. The following are found regard to zone text amendments under recommended conditions of approval shown in Section 5. A motion for approval should include a minimum of these findings and may include other findings deemed appropriate by this body. 4.11, the zone text amendments comply with federal, state, and Story County regulations. 4.12, those own text amendments substantially conform to and support the goals, objectives, and recommendations of the Story County Master Plan concerning land use and related policies. 413, the zone text amendments consider uses pursuant to the master plan and zoning ordinance occur on abutting lands and as reasonably mitigates potential adverse impacts that may be caused by its uses. 414, the zone text amendments do not conflict with the minimum requirements of Title 17 zoning ordinance or Story County Code 1703 administrative provisions for zone text amendments. 415, the proposed zone text amendments will not cause uses that will likely negatively impact existing or planned public facilities and will not adversely impact the public health, safety, and welfare. And 416, the proposed zone text amendments will not create any nonconforming conditions, such as nonconforming setback distances or minimum parcel area with requirements. There's a motion prepared on page 10. Motion 1 is a recommendation for approval. It is a recommendation that includes against the Planning Commission's recommendation regarding the casino. And if you so choose to go that route, then motion 1 would be the recommended motion on page 10.
Okay. So at this time, I'm going to call for a motion to approve the second reading of Ordinance 15-269 with the in accordance with the findings for approval. And recommend that we accept this with staff's recommendation, overruling the Planning Commission's decision.
And I'd like to ask, when you make your motion and you read motion one, can you add the actual ordinance number to that motion that you read?
Okay. Are you there, Jack?
Yeah, I'm looking for the ordinance number.
There you go.
15-269.
So based on the findings of the fact shown in subsection 4.1 and the conditions of approval shown in section 5 of this report and conformance with federal, state, the county regulations and the master plan in relation to Ordinance 15-269, recommend the approval by the recommendation of approval by staff and the Planning Commission would accept the recommendation by the Planning Commission that a special use permit shall be required for large-scale casinos. I make a motion to approve Story County Zone Text Amendment Application number 2014-020 to include chapter 17.39IC, industrial commercial zone, to Story County Code Title 17, Story County Zoning Ordinance.
Mr. Commissioner, I just want to make sure, because it wasn't real clear on the one word, that you did in fact say by staff and the Planning Commission except against the recommendation by the Planning Commission that a special use permit be required for large-scale casinos. I know you said that, but there was one word in there that didn't come out clear for the record.
Okay.
So essentially you're voting for the zone, but you're voting against the Planning Commission's recommendation for special use permitting of casinos.
And I'll amend that as to say and voting against the Planning Commission's request.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. And I'll second your motion. So it's been moved to second to approve the second reading of Ordinance Number 15-269. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. We're going to move along now to item number 13 for possible action, licensing board second readings. Mr. Osberg.
All right. Thank you. Community Development recommends approval of A through O. I'll go ahead and read those. Rock Ramp Adventures, Maverick Technologies, Papa Fred's Food, Precision Concrete, Jet.com, Reliable Plumbing, Duke's Plumbing, Family Landscape Maintenance, Envy Commercial Coatings, Far West Insulation, Midwest Recycling, Tile Alliance, Petro Solutions, Platinum Scaffolding Services, and MG&H Consulting, LTD.
All right, can I get a motion to approve items A through O?
I would so move.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded to approve licensing board second readings of A through O. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries.
Community Development recommends continuance of P, Q, and R by Bi-Nutraceuticals, AZ Trucking, Marine and RV, and Rich Doss.
Very good. Thank you. Now, going ahead, if I can get a motion to continue items P, Q, and R.
I would make the motion to continue items P, Q, and R.
I'll second that.
We move in a second to continue P, Q, and R. The second readings, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Move along now to number 14, public comment. Ms. Bart.
Nicole Bart, Story County resident. Is there a hearing tomorrow? I got an email from somebody saying there's a hearing on an injunction.
Right. On the Maltantano case. It'll be here at 1:30.
Okay, no. I didn't see anything anywhere official on it. That's why I'm asking.
Yes. Tomorrow at 1:30 here.
Oh, okay. Great. Thank you.
Any other public comment today? Hearing none, meeting's adjourned.